It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E. K. D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
Revelation chapter 22. We are continuing our series in the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The key themes we are learning in this book of Revelation is that, number one, the first law of interpretation is that Scripture interprets Scripture. The second theme we are learning in this book of Revelation is that there is much symbolic language in the book of Revelation and throughout the Bible. But in this symbolic language, there is always a literal meaning. This is important as we apply the literal meaning to our lives in a practical way, and also it prevents individuals from inserting their opinions, their traditions, or their suppositions into the interpretation process. The third theme we are learning in this book of Revelation is that God will not use man-made devices for judgment during the Great Tribulation. God will not use nuclear bombs during the Great Tribulation. The world will be habitable, as we are learning, during the great millennial reign, when Christ will reign and rule for 1,000 years, as the book of Isaiah teaches that children will be born into the millennial reign, which tells us that the world will be habitable and not subject to nuclear fallout during those 1,000 years after Armageddon and the Great Tribulation. God will instead use supernatural phenomenon and supernatural weather to judge the world. God will use supernatural hurricanes, supernatural tornadoes, earthquakes, floods, tsunami, tidal waves, volcanoes that spew out lava and fiery building-sized boulders and hailstones to pepper the earth. Revelation chapter 22 continues on the theme of chapter 21, giving us a picture of heaven in biblical and symbolic language. Chapter 22 also gives numerous warnings, loving warnings, throughout the chapter to take heed to the word of God and to be faithful unto the Lord. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Here in verse 1, the river of water of life speaks to the purity of heaven. It speaks to eternal joy and refreshment found in heaven. And it speaks to the life in Christ eternally that we have. Jesus quoted in John chapter 7, "He that believeth in me, as the scripture speaketh, shall flow out of his belly rivers of living waters." Verses 1 and 2 also speak of God's eternal provision with the leaves for the healing of the nations, literally in the Greek, the health of the nations. You'll find this echoed in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 12. verses 1 and 2, God's eternal joy, eternal refreshment, eternal provision, all found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 3 through 5, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and there need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Verse 3 once again speaks of the removal of the curse due to the fall in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3 and forward, mankind received a nature handed down from the devil through Adam based on Adam and Eve's disobedience. Genesis 3 and forward, speaking of also the curse on this planet, a fallen planet that has death and misery ingrained within its tapestry. This has been removed, and the former things are passed away. All things that will remind us of the fallen nature of man and of this planet has been removed and is not a part of our holy habitation and heavenly experience. Verse 4, speaking of seeing his face, this speaks of eternal fellowship. This speaks of the ultimate in a personal relationship with the Lord. Throughout the scriptures, we read in Exodus 34 and John chapter 1, for example, that no man has seen God at any time. We have been exposed to God providing for man, loving man, showing mercy and grace to man, but never seeing the true essence of who God is. Jesus Christ said, "When you see me, you shall see the Father." When we see the love of Jesus, we see the Father's love. When we see the miracles of Jesus, we see the miracles of God. But no man has seen God in his true essence. Only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second member of the Godhead or the Trinity. Seeing his face does not mean that we shall see all of him in his fullness, for God is inexhaustible in his essence and limitless and boundless in who he is. But this rather speaks to eternal fellowship and the ultimate of a personal relationship with the Lord, as we will be like him in terms of immortality and in a spiritual state. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Eternal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, "We shall belong to him as evidenced by his name in our forehead." And verse 5, once again, no need for light, for the glory of God throughout eternity will be light in heaven. His very presence, the eternal Shekinah glory, will manifest itself throughout eternity. Verse 5 concludes with us reigning and ruling with the Lord throughout eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. Paul echoed this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 when he said, "Know ye not that the saints shall judge angels?" And again, "Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world?" Jesus gave us comfort in Luke chapter 12, Fear not, little flock. It is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So not only in the millennial reign for 1,000 years will we reign and rule with Christ, but from everlasting to everlasting. Verses 6 through 7. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Here in verses 6 and 7, we see loving warnings to keep the word of God, and a loving confirmation of the authenticity of the book. Verse 6 echoes chapter 1, verse 1, in terms of where this revelation of came from God to Jesus Christ, to the angel, to John, in written form in the Bible, to us. Verse 7 echoes chapter 1, verse 3, and speaks of a blessing for those who hear and keep this word. Verses 8 through 9. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou doeth it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Verse 8 and verse 9 echo chapter 19, where John was told again not to bow down to a created being, even though it's an angel, but to get up and worship God. Throughout the scriptures, when the prophets are told to get up, it is an angel they are in the presence of. When the prophets remain prostrate and worship, then that particular angel is either a theophany, God manifesting himself as an angel, or a Christophany, the pre-incarnate Christ manifesting himself as the angel of God. A theophany, for example, can be read in Genesis chapter 18, and a Christophany, for example, can be read in Joshua chapter 5. Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, is told by Peter to get up and not to worship him. How often mankind leans to look to something greater than himself to worship when he is told throughout the scriptures to worship God. Verse number 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Here John is told not to seal the book, the opposite of Daniel chapter 12, where Daniel was told to seal the book until the end. That book which Daniel sealed was revealed during the book of Revelation. Here, there is no more sealing of the message of God. God wants the entire world to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the loving warnings of the end of the world to come throughout the book of Revelation. And finally, God would have the world to know the great reward that is before them as a heavenly gift of everlasting life when they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Here, the eternal state of mankind is evident. When an individual dies, this is the state that they are going to be in. If individuals die in lust, they will be in everlasting lust and torment. if individuals die in the Lord, they will be in everlasting holiness, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Lord. Whatever state an individual dies in outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, that individual will be in that eternal state and in eternal torment. There is no changing of a person's heart or a person's everlasting eternal state after they have been deceased. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9. We are forbidden to pray for the dead and forbidden to seek the dead through the occult. Individuals, while there is breath in their body, have the opportunity to change their eternal state through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 12 through 13. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Here in verse 12, we see a loving warning again by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming for judgment and he's coming for reward. His reward is not just a heavenly reward. His reward is everlasting life in the Lord Jesus Christ. His reward is the Lord himself. Individuals are looking for rewards in terms of heaven. Jesus Christ ultimately is our reward. Genesis chapter 15 states, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Yes, as Christians, we celebrate the opportunity with everlasting life in Christ and heaven as our holy habitation. But our ultimate joy and celebration and reward is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ, the Lord, and God himself, they are our exceeding and great reward. And eternal satisfaction and joy and celebration will take place in heaven as we worship and praise and celebrate eternal life and glorify him forever and ever. Verse 13 speaks of the biblical language of Christ, Alpha and Omega, means first and last, the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. This is an echo of chapter 1, verse number 8, Jesus Christ identifying himself in biblical language. Verse 14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city." Here in verse 14, Scripture is not teaching that individuals can keep the commandments and receive salvation. Scripture here is teaching a blessing for those that keep the word of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and as a result, receive the reward of everlasting life and God's holy habitation. The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 14, in its context, is speaking of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ and faithfulness in keeping the word of God. Verse number 15, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Here we see in verse 15 another distinction in terms of what is in heaven and who are outside of heaven. As echoed in chapter 21, the word dogs in verse 15 is speaking of those that are unbelievers. Sorcerers speaks of those who practice the occult and who engage in altered states through drug and alcohol abuse. Whoremongers speaks of those who practice sexual relationships outside of marriage. Murderers speaks of those who murder physically and with their tongue. Idolaters speak of those who worship graven images and live a life of materialism through greedy, unjust, and ill-gotten gain. And those that love and maketh a lie speaketh of those who are living double lives, and those who are hypocrites, who say they love the Lord, know the Lord, and their lives speak the opposite. Verse number 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Here we see Jesus referring back to the teachings and the proclamations in chapter 2 and chapter 3 to the seven churches, which is also a proclamation to all believers in the churches as they read the Word of God. The root and offspring of David speak to chapter 5 in biblical language. Verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Here, yet another loving invitation, an altar call, if you will, for all to be saved. Verse 17 is similar to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This invitation in verse 17 is from the Holy Spirit and from the believers as evidenced by the bride. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is reaching out to all individuals throughout the globe, touching and pricking and convicting individuals and wooing them to believe and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says, when the Holy Spirit speaketh, harden not your heart. The Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead or the Trinity. Verses 18 through 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of this book and this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Here, another loving warning from the Holy Spirit from the Scriptures. We are forbidden to add or take away from the Bible. This warning is also given in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. There is no more new revelation that God has not revealed outside of the Bible. The Bible is complete. The Bible is infallible. The Bible is the complete written Word of God. We are forbidden to add or take away the words of the Bible and to add or take away any interpretations from the Scriptures or adding thereto the Scriptures. The penalty, as evident in verses 18 and 19, are the consequences of plagues during the Great Tribulation and the consequences that come to those who live before the tribulation, with the ultimate consequence of losing an individual's salvation, having their name taken from the Lamb's Book of Life, as in verse 19. Examples of the potential of names removed from the Lamb's Book of Life can be found in Exodus chapter 32, Psalm 69, Revelation chapter 3, individuals can receive the consequence of plagues upon them in any manner and any fashion, and individuals can lose their salvation by adding or taking away from the words of this book. Adding or taking away the words of this book causes individuals to deviate from God's truth, causes individuals not to trust in God's word, causes individuals to begin to shipwreck their faith with false doctrine, false teachings, by adding or taking away the words of this book. Verses 20 through 21. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Here in verse 20, Jesus Christ again authenticates the word of God coming from himself in the first person as he testifies, I come quickly. Jesus Christ wants to be remembered not just as the baby in the manger, not just as him on the cross of Calvary, not just as him that walked and talked along this earth providing miracles, healing the sick and raising the dead, but he wants to be remembered by these words in Scripture, I come quickly. Those that love the Lord Jesus Christ long for him and look to him to come. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When you love someone and long for them to come and return and be in their presence, then you look for their return hastily. The Bible speaks of the father of the prodigal son looking on the horizon for his son to come back home. Here, John in verse 20 is echoing the words of Jesus when he says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And in our hearts, we echo these same words out of love. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Verse 21 closes with the grace of God as part of John's prayer. John prays for the return of Christ in verse 20, and John prays for the grace of Christ to be on us all in verse 21. This is Revelation chapter 22. And on today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Pray with me this prayer. This prayer will change your life. Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.